joined because I like a challenge. And it's not every day an ordinary person stands up in front of 10, 20, sometimes 30 people who succeed in their competition or more. This has taught me how to temper the way one approaches from the stage to the audience. And I love it.
I'm going to ask Sandy, because you're a recent member, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, would you like to share?
I've actually joined Toastmasters about a month and a half ago. And the reason I joined it is, personally, I've got a dream. I want to be a motivation speaker sometime in my life. And I've always been a very introvert person. I've not had the confidence to talk, and I've tried it. I've lived with that for years and years and years, and then, you know, just keep praising others, but you don't have the confidence to come up and do it. And I started doing it at work and started gradually making a change. But I thought, if you want to be a really professional speaker, you need to sharpen your skills. And I think this is a safe environment, which I feel very comfortable. And I came as a guest just to see how it is. And what I saw in the first instance was that people were very supportive to each other. There wasn't anyone laughing at you. You could completely freeze on stage and go blank, and it's still okay.
Sure.
That's why I think it's great.
Thanks. I'm conscious of time. There's quite a lot of speakers. I'd like everyone to say something. Not that you were speaking, but I just wanted to keep it a bit brief and possible. Angela, would you like to share?
I joined Toastmasters for two reasons. I wanted to get the technique of being funny, because I could never tell a long joke, and I had trouble with punchlines. And I now want to go into stand-up comedy. And so I've moved on and progressed in that way. And I wanted to be able to organise a speech at the beginning, middle and end, which I'm gradually getting the hang of. And finally, I hope to be a panellist on TV and be world famous. We all have dreams, don't we?
Justice. I'm not so ambitious. But luckily I actually attended a stand-up comedy, and it was an open mic night, so I just pull out 5 minutes routine and I delivered one joke and everybody laughed. So I think you might have liked the lucky one. So yeah, if you want to discuss some topics,
yeah, he has very
interesting. I've always been comfortable speaking. I always came off wherever I would be speaking thinking, if I didn't say that, I got that in the wrong order. I completely forgot to say that in my point. So I wanted to join Toastmasters to bring some structure and discipline. And after 4 years, I'm hoping it will happen one day.
Thank you. Oh, one, it was lovely to stand up and to be able to talk and know the answers back. Just take advantage. But I do training and teaching, and it's so easy to be complacent and stay at a certain level because you've got a certain amount of knowledge. So suddenly I thought, I need to come back to Toastmasters to be pushed to actually say, look, that's not good enough. And I'm still waiting to be good enough.
Thank you. I come here because I like biscuits, really. And I've got a passion for orange chair, was it? Richard? I'm not sure. No, I just came to improve my communication, and it's done now. So.
I came out of curiosity. I thought, what do these speakers' clubs do? Well, I hated public speaking. I didn't expect to enjoy it. And I think it's a bit like some people like bungee jumping or parachuting, jumping out of aircrafts. I get my adrenaline thrills. I get my kicks from coming up here and speaking. I don't sit back down and I go, oh. I said to you there's lots of different roles that we take and we do. You've seen Lily do the timekeeping today, yes? And you've actually heard them evaluate your speech. I'd like a couple of you just to talk about the other positions that we have under the leadership.
I run a choir for people with mental illness, and being here has really taught me the importance of timekeeping, the importance of organising things, to be able to evaluate, to be able to ask of evaluation is to make the person that you're evaluating firstly want to come back and do it again and do it better than they've done it this time. So when you evaluate, you have to criticize it, you like, you recommend something that's going to make it better, then you say, I'm not thinking that you like it. So that when you've got the importance of saying what you need to say in the available time left.
I would say there's so many different things that it teaches you. One of the things is I really like helping people. And you mentioned before about mentoring. And the mentoring process is very much two-way, because you're helping the person that you're mentoring, but it also helps yourself, because they often say the best way to learn something is to teach it. And so by helping someone along, it actually helps you as well.
Thank you. Toastmasters is that some of the projects that you do within Toastmasters you can actually do outside of Toastmasters, and there's something called a high performance leadership project which I actually took into the workplace, and I'm a teacher, and I thought you need to have a vision and you need to work through that vision, you need to have to take on board a team and delegate, and I had this vision that we could all evaluate our teaching more fully using a video recorder. So that was my vision, to get all my work colleagues to video their teaching and to overcome their resistance and to delegate to members of my colleagues to do that. And that's what I did. It was a sort of 6-month project that I did. And it was very useful because it helped me to learn how to delegate. It raised my confidence in the workplace, and I think my probably slightly more esteem by my colleagues, and it benefited me in Toastmasters as well. So it was a win-win situation. And it didn't actually matter if you didn't succeed, it was just the learning in the process and what you learned. And even if you didn't succeed, you could look back and say, well, why didn't it, and reflect on it. So it's, again, a win-win situation, even if you lose. Thank you.
I mentioned earlier about mentoring, and as you experience the evaluation competition. And I did mention that quite a few people are mentors here. I'd like Jill, Peter and Angela just to share how you've managed to mentor a Toastmaster, a unseasoned Toastmaster, become a seasoned Toastmaster. Jill, would you like to
share? I don't think it's a question of what I do or anybody else. What you're doing is saying, of course you can do it. Now, what's the best way to help you to do it? I think it's going with the person who you're mentoring and seeing how you can just say, yes, you can, and the best way to do it through whatever you're going to do. And it's been an utter pleasure seeing people grow within Toastmasters and outside, because to me it isn't just about Toastmasters, it's about everything you do in life, including your confidence, including the way you speak to people. And it is a real pleasure, most of the time, to be a mentor.
Thank you. Angela asked, yeah, Angela and then Peter.
I've been mentoring people online, including people in Singapore who send me their speeches by email, and then I can either go into Pages and put my suggestions in another colour, or I can write an email and list them points 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I'm very happy with that, because usually it tells me something I can do with my next speech while I'm thinking about what they could be doing with theirs. Mm. Very much as Tony said.
Thank you. Have you
started? For me, the mentoring is a sounding board. It is on a one-to-one situation where you sit in front of someone who is giving a speech. Initially, the person giving the speech knows they won't get criticised, laughed at, they may get laughed with, but not laughed at. And it's a great way of nurturing somebody to a higher level. And I found there's both mentor. There was a chap here a couple of weeks ago who had to go off to North America, to the West Coast.